Americans, brave warriors, and steadfast allies, good morning. You know, as someone who led troops, led soldiers in the streets of Baghdad and Samarra, Iraq, and who trained counterinsurgents in Kabul, Afghanistan, and who still carries the weight of brothers lost to Iranian terrorist proxies, many backed by the same Iranian regime we're confronting now. This fight, Operation Epic Fury, it hits home. Our generation understands this fight. For 47 years, these barbaric savages in the Iranian regime have murdered our brothers in arms, my guys, your guys, our guys, through their terrorist proxies and cowardly attacks. Now they race toward a nuclear bomb to hold the world hostage. The Iranians have targeted and killed thousands of my American brothers. That race to a nuclear bomb, President Trump will never allow it. Not now, not ever, not on our watch. The mullahs are desperate and scrambling. Like the terrorist cowards they are, they fire missiles from schools and hospitals, deliberately targeting innocents, because they know their military is being systematically degraded and annihilated. Iran's neighbors, and in some cases, former allies in the Gulf, they've abandoned them. And their proxies, Hezbollah, the Houthis, and Hamas, either broken, ineffective, or on the sidelines. Iran stands alone, and they are badly losing. On day 10 of Operation Epic Fury, we are winning with an overwhelming and unrelenting focus on our objectives, which are the same as the day I gave my first briefing here on Operation Epic Fury. They're straightforward, and we are executing them with ruthless precision. One, destroy their missile stockpiles, their missile launchers, and their defense industrial base. Missiles and their ability to make them. Two, destroy their navy. And three, permanently deny Iran nuclear weapons forever. It's a laser-focused, maximum authority mission delivered with overwhelming and unrelenting precision. No hesitation, no half measures. As President Trump declared yesterday, we're crushing the enemy in an overwhelming display of technical skill and military force. We will not relent until the enemy is totally and decisively defeated. But we do so. We do so on our timeline and at our choosing. For example, today will be yet again our most intense day of strikes inside Iran. The most fighters, the most bombers, the most strikes. Intelligence more refined and better than ever. So that's on one hand. On the other hand, the last 24 hours have seen Iran fire the lowest number of missiles they've been capable of firing yet. Just the bifurcation, just the trend lines that we talked about on our first briefing. You see, this is not 2003. This is not endless nation building under those types of quagmires we saw under Bush or Obama. It's not even close. Our generation of soldier will not let that happen again, and nor will this president, who very clearly ran against those kinds of never-ending, nebulously scoped missions. Those days are dead. Instead, we're winning decisively with brutal efficiency, total air dominance, and an unbreakable will to accomplish the president's objectives on our timeline. We stay locked on the target because here at the Department of War, that's our job. Now, the chairman and I, having just returned from Dover last night, our troops and their families and the enormous sacrifice that they make is certainly heavy on my mind.
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks, you still got the big panopticon, AI. surveillance systems, all the big tech is, and they're still going to try to stay in control, but because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have a conversation for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore, but the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations, so I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really know it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March Mega Sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at thealexhomestore.com.
So I'll close with scripture, drawing strength from Psalm 144. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. He is my loving God and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield in whom I take refuge. May the Lord grant unyielding strength and refuge to our warriors, unbreakable protection to them in our homeland, and total victory over those who seek to harm them. And amen. God bless our troops and this mission. Mr. Chairman, over to you.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary, and good morning, everyone, and thank you for being here. I'm here today to continue the updates to the American people and to those in the room on Operation Epic Fury. First, let me start with honoring our fallen. As the Secretary said, on Saturday and again last night at Dover Air Force Base in Delaware, our nation's leaders honored our returning fallen as they arrived home for their final time. Last week, I shared a few of the names, and today I want to share the rest. Major Jeffrey O'Brien and Chief Warrant Officer 3 Robert Marzen were the final two fallen to return home, and members of the U.S. Army Reserve's 103rd Sustainment Command out of Des Moines, Iowa. Last night, as the news has been reporting, we honored the return of Staff Sergeant Benjamin Pennington of the U.S. Army's 1st Space Brigade from Fort Carson, Colorado. When I met Ben's family last night, his mom, his dad, and his sister, they showed me a picture, a drawing that Ben had made when he was in kindergarten. It was clear all the way back then that Ben wanted to do one thing in his life, and he wanted to serve his country and be a soldier. And to the Penningtons, just know how Ben was absolutely a great one. And finally, Major Sorfleet Davies, who returned home this weekend after sadly passing away from a medical condition while on duty in Kuwait. We welcome him home as well and mourn with his family. To the families and the families of all of our fallen, we share in your profound grief. The Joint Force remains eternally grateful for your sacrifice and the gift of a great example that your service members have given all of us. I want you to know that their names will never be forgotten, and you and your family are part of our Joint Force family forever. Let me talk a little bit about the progress thus far, acknowledging that Admiral Cooper will likely continue to give updates from CENTCOM. As the Secretary said, we're in the 10th, moving into the 11th day of Operation Epic Fury. The Joint Force remains focused on 3 military objectives: continue to destroy Iranian ballistic missiles and drone capability in order to prevent attacks on the U.S. and others throughout the region. And this means attacking launch sites, command and control nodes, stockpiles before they can threaten our personnel, our facilities, and our partners. Second, we continue to strike the Iranian Navy and their capabilities in order to do things like sustain movement through the Straits of Hormuz. And third, we continue to start working on and going deeper into Iran's military and industrial base in order to prevent the regime from being able to attack Americans, our interests, and our partners for years to come and project power outside their borders. This means servicing production facilities, research and development sites, and infrastructure. Let me turn to the map. We're going to try digital today to prevent laser injury. Since our last update, CENTCOM continues to make progress across the southern flank. To date, they've struck more than 5,000 targets. U.S. Strategic Command bombers recently dropped dozens of 2,000-pound GPS-penetrating weapons on deeply buried missile launchers across the southern flank. We also have struck several one-way drone factories to get at the heart of their autonomous capability. And, of course, alongside our regional partners along the southern flank, continue to execute intercepts against one-way attack drones using fighters and attack helicopters. Our strikes mean we've made significant progress in reducing the number of missile and drone attacks out of Iran. Ballistic missile attacks continue to trend downward, 90% from where they've started, and one-way attack drones have decreased 83% since the beginning of the operation. A testament to our air defenders and our air defense systems, and as I said, our partners in the region continue to do great work as well. Second, we're making substantial progress towards destroying the Navy. In the first 10 days of the conflict, we're more than 50 Iranian naval ships into the campaign using a combination of artillery, fighters, bombers, and sea-launched missiles. As Admiral Cooper noted last Thursday, we struck and sank an Iranian drone carrier ship, and U.S. CENTCOM continues today to hunt and strike mine-laying vessels and mine storage facilities. This work will continue. Third, we've against our objectives, we've begun to target Iran's military and industrial complex, again, focusing on centers of gravity to get upstream of the shooters out in the field in order to deny them the ability to continue to generate those one-way attack drones. Let me spend a minute talking about the joint force. Across the area of responsibility, this is gritty and tireless work, and I cannot begin to explain how incredibly proud I am of the extraordinary courage, tenacity, and grit and professionalism within the joint force. Last time I had a chance to talk about the Army's incredible logisticians who are out there sustaining the fight. Today I want to highlight a few groups of sailors. First, I want to thank the men and women of the Ford Carrier Strike Group and their families, and let all of them know how grateful I am for their leadership and service. The crews on board this strike group have already been endured months at sea only to get their deployment extended. These exceptional Americans, rogered up, all supported by their families, continue to stand the watch, taking the fight to the enemy over and over again, night after night. Aboard ships like the USS Ford and the Abraham Lincoln are a special group of sailors I want to highlight today. These are the men and women, the sailors up on the roof running operations on the flight deck. With an average age of the early 20s, these are the unsung heroes of naval aviation. These young sailors, known for wearing yellow shirts, are in charge of the catapults, taxiing jets around on the flight deck, shooting jets off the front end, and recovering jets off the back end. They are literally involved with every single movement on the roof on an aircraft carrier. They are the last ones that a naval aviator sees before getting shot off the front end, and the first one that a naval aviator sees after safely trapping on the back end. And just for a minute, imagine you're standing on that aircraft carrier flight deck. There's 30 knots of wind in your face. The deck is slippery, covered in grease. It's noisy. There are propellers spinning. There's jet blast everywhere. The helicopters are running. Your head is on a swivel, and you're trying to direct a multi-million-dollar fighter into a one-foot square box so that those naval aviators can be shot off into the black of night to go do America's work. Those jets are fully loaded with missiles and bombs, and they are a world-class team combined with the naval aviation and the aviators in those jets. This beautiful symphony of American spirit is the definition of perfectly organized chaos, and these crews do it every single time the carrier is at work. Oh, by the way, in the middle of the night and oftentimes in the pouring rain. These are dedicated young people who take the road less traveled to serve their great nation, doing the deeds that we need them to do. America's enlisted force is the pride of every nation's military, certainly ours, and the envy of every other one as well. Each and every one of them out there across the joint force are extraordinary, and in particular today I want to highlight the yellow shirts. Ladies and gentlemen, our work continues. It'll continue to be difficult. I ask every American to keep our deployed force and their families in our thoughts. Combat deployments can be tough on the force and the families, and it's important that we continue to remember that. I remain deeply humbled by the 2.8 million members of the joint force, and I'll end where I started, and that's remembering our fallen and their families whose sacrifice will be felt forever. And with that, I'll take some questions with the Secretary.
A beautiful symphony of American spirit. Well said, Mr. Chairman.
Thanks, sir.
I will just note that no other country in the world is capable of executing what the chairman just described, day after day, night after night, unrelenting. Well said. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Alexandra Ingersoll, One America News. You talked, Mr. Secretary, you talked at the conference in Florida on Thursday that there was a 90% missile capabilities degradation and 83% drone degradation, and I know the chairman just repeated those numbers. We've seen the most amount of fighting these past 5 days. Is there any update to those percentages? And also, are you able to give any quantification of degradation to the enemy's nuclear capabilities yet?
What those numbers represent is a persistent low ability to respond, which is what we're looking for, right? It's if the enemy can simply wait and then project power, that's problematic. And we've seen some spurts here or there, but ultimately the trend lines, if you look at the charts that we look at every day, have gone like this down to all a flat. It doesn't mean they won't be able to project. Doesn't mean they, you know, our air defenders still don't have to defend. They do. But that is strong evidence of degradation, along with the battle damage assessment that the joint staff does, which takes time. You've got to look at imagery and recognize whether something's been simply degraded or it's been destroyed or whether an underground facility has been collapsed or completely obliterated. So there's differences in how you evaluate that, but the numbers staying that low is a demonstration of the efficacy for sure. Yeah.
Thanks, Mr. Secretary. There's been reports that the new leader of Iran has been wounded. Do you know if this is true and what his condition is? And then another one, President Trump said he had a really good call with President Putin yesterday. Will Russia be aiding us in this conflict, and can you share anything on that?
Well, the president, as I've said before, maintains strong relationships with world leaders, which creates opportunities and options for us in very dynamic ways. So the president said it was a good call. I was not on it, but those that were said it was a strong call, reaffirming hopefully the opportunity for some peace in Russia-Ukraine, and also a recognition that as it pertains to this conflict, they should not be involved. The first question was?
On the new leader of Iran, there's reports that he's been wounded.
Oh, the new leader of Iran. He would be wise to heed the words of our president, which is to not pursue nuclear weapons and come out and state as such. As far as his status, that's not something I can comment on right now. Yeah, right here. Correct.
Mr. Secretary, Eric Schmidt with the New York Times. A question for you first. Last week, you talked about this being the beginnings of an air campaign that could last 3 to 8 weeks. Can you give us your assessment on where we are now? And, Mr. Chairman, in any conflict, the enemy or the adversary adapts to the tactics it faces. Can you talk about the most challenging adaptation the Iranian military has made to the U.S. military? What challenges are you facing most right now? Thank you.
I appreciate the question. Where we are is in a very strong place, giving the President of the United States maximum options. And from the beginning, from this podium, we haven't stated how long it will take. Our will is endless. Ultimately, the President gets to determine the end state of those objectives, right? But what he's said continually, and I want the American people to understand, is this is not endless. It's not protracted. We're not allowing mission creep. The President has set a very specific mission to accomplish. And our job is to unrelentingly deliver that. Now, he gets to control the throttle. He's the one deciding. He's the one elected on behalf of the American people when we're achieving those particular objectives. And so it's not for me to posit whether it's the beginning, the middle, or the end. That's his, and he'll continue to communicate that. What we serve him as is we give him updates on a daily basis of exactly where we are so he can make that determination on the throttle. Mr. Chairman.
Thank you for the question on adaptation. As you're right, no plant survives first contact with the enemy or Murphy. They're adapting, as are we, of course. We have very entrepreneurial warfighters out there. I'd rather not, for operational security reasons, tell them what's working. I'm going to not answer that question based on that. But we are watching what they're doing, and we are adapting faster than they are.
Are they more formidable than you anticipated, General?
I think they're fighting, and I respect that, but I don't think they're more formidable than what we thought.
Secretary, thank you. Jordan Conrad from the Gateway Pundit. Axios reported, citing U.S. and Israeli sources, that the U.S. was not happy with strikes on 30 fuel depots in Iran. While this is anonymous sourcing, you know, it seems kind of congruent with what President Trump said yesterday, that there's certain spots they don't want to hit relating to energy infrastructure that would take a long time to rebuild. Whether this reporting is true or not, what's your message to Americans, those who supported the president and those who aren't really in favor of this war and who worry that Israel might be taking advantage of the U.S.'s backing? And then
All right, let me step in on this. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. A lot happening over here that we're going to catch you up on. We have an incredible show lined up for you with an exclusive as well. Sonny Labosco will be joining the show, and so will Raheem Kassam. Kassam will also be on the program today. I'm excited to have Raheem on the program. He is the editor over at the National Pulse, but most importantly, he's been doing incredible reporting in regards to what's going on in Washington, D.C., but mainly the big shakedown that's going on right now. We see House, or I should say Senate Republicans, trying their very best to shake down President Trump for his endorsement for John Cornyn in Texas. But John Cornyn's a rhino, and a bunch of us have been pushing back on this, people who understand just that. We've got an update there for you. Can't wait to bring that to you. It will be a good one. But Raheem has been on it. He's been bringing back some of the best of moments of John Cornyn's rhino days. John Cornyn pretends like he is somehow, some way, someone who's an advocate for President Trump's agenda, trying to rewrite history. So we'll go there with Raheem later in the program. And Sonny Labosco is bringing us an exclusive. She actually had the not so pleasure of working with John Cornyn. John Cornyn is someone who, here if you live in Texas, he doesn't really do much for Texans. He actually does more to defend the deep state operatives rather than the people he's supposed to represent. And he knows that. As Charlie Kirk once said, he's literally laughing at his constituents because his loyalty is to his big corporate donors and not to you at home. Now, Sonny's going to come clean and tell us what exactly happened behind the scenes when she tried her best to get legislation pushed through after five Dallas police officers were brutally assassinated in the streets of downtown Dallas. She'll be joining us in a little bit. Let's kick it off. As you guys know, there was a press conference that was going on over at the Pentagon. Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of War, speaking at that press conference, giving us an update as to what's going on with the United States efforts in Iran right now. But it wasn't just Pete Hegseth speaking. Late yesterday, we also heard from the president regarding the latest update on Iran. Take a listen to clip one.
And some people could say they're pretty well complete. We've wiped every single force in Iran out very completely. Most of Iran's naval power has been sunk. It's on the bottom of the sea. It's almost 50 ships. I was just notified it's 51 ships. I didn't know they had that many. Didn't last very long. And these are fighting vessels. They're meant to fight, but they're not meant to fight against us. We continue to target Iran's drone and missile capabilities. Their drones are way down. Their drone manufacturing has been hit starting today. We know all of the places they manufacture the drones, and they're being hit one after another. Their missile capability is down to about 10%, maybe less. We're also hitting where they make missiles and where they deliver missiles. We've struck over 5,000 targets to date, some of them very major targets. And we've left some of the most important targets for later in case we need to do it. If we hit them, it's going to take many years for them to be rebuilt, having to do with electricity production and many other things. So we're not looking to do that if we don't have to. But they're the kind of things that are very easy to hit, but very devastating if they are hit. We are waiting to see what happens before we hit them. We could take them all out in one day, but it's all resulting in a 90% decline in various things, but in particular, Iranian missile launchers and 83% drop in drone launchers. As you know, the drone launchers are pretty well shot, but we're at over 90% decline in the Iranian missile launchers, which is very hard to reproduce and very hard to get. And usually what we were able to do through great equipment, a lot of smart people, as soon as they sent a missile up from a launcher, we were able to knock out that launcher within a period of 5 minutes or less, accurately right on the noggin. So now we have low-cost interceptors effectively combating Iranian drones, and our B-2 bombers recently dropped dozens of 2,000-pound bombs to destroy missile launchers all over Iran and very deep under Iranian soil in many cases. The soil was no match. And we're also annihilating the manufacturing base that the regime uses to build drones and missiles at a rate that nobody thought was possible. We're knocking them out. We know where they all are. We're knocking them out very quickly.
All right. The president giving you that update yesterday, and we did play the full press conference that was held at the Pentagon earlier this morning. So there's a lot going on right now. We're going to play little bits from that press conference throughout today's show because the president continues to contradict himself in a sense. We don't know when the war is going to end. We don't know if it's officially been complete. The president's going back and forth. And when asked, you know, the Secretary of War, obviously, because it's not his position, it would obviously be the commander in chief to decide when enough is enough. Pete Hegseth saying, listen, I'm leaving this up to the president of the United States. And President Trump declaring it an absolute success. So many in the media do have, and it's a fair question, questions regarding, well, when is enough enough? Are you guys officially done with your mission in Iran? The president, again, saying maybe, and going back and forth. That's what the media is hitting him on this morning. They're not very happy with the fact that he can't give us a concise answer and a response. And again, I mean, most of us on this side of everything didn't want this in the first place. So it's quite strange to see the back and forth. But most importantly, I mean, we don't want a full-on war. The president saying that's not going to be the case. But then also there was they were alluding to the fact that there could possibly be a draft. I mean, again, I think that's a fear-mongering tactic. I don't think there would be one. But it's something to keep in the back of your mind. Now, we're going to be going through the show later in just a little bit. Lindsey Graham, who has way too much power in this administration right now. He has the ear of the president. And those warmongers know just that. And he has been sitting there and amping up this president to go even further. We've played some sound bites for you. The one that took place yesterday on Fox was absolutely outrageous. We're going to get to that in a moment. In the meantime, though, I want to point you all over to the Alex Jones website right now, thealexjonesstore.com. Right now, America's 250th, I believe it's the anniversary t-shirt. It's on sale right now. The limited edition shirt is $14.99. Now, this is 60% off. It's regularly almost $40. Right now, when you head on over to thealexjonesstore.com, you could snag this shirt. Again, it's exclusive for a limited time only, and it is 60% off over at thealexjonesstore.com. This deal is going to end on Friday the 13th, that is. So you got to stop what you're doing right now and head on over to the shop and make sure you snag it before it's too late. We also have our March mega sale going on right now as well. Up to 40% off on some of your favorite supplements over at thealexjonesstore.com.
About to embark on a great adventure.
President Truman has chosen you and your crew to lead a highly classified mission.
Where do we pick up our escort?
There will be no escort. All I can tell you is that this cargo can end the war. You can save millions of lives.
You are my crew. And our survival depends on all of you functioning as one unit.
Yes, sir!
A short time ago, an American airplane dropped one bomb on Hiroshima. With this bomb, we have now added a new and revolutionary increase in destruction.
Now I am become Death, the destroyer of worlds.
Captain! There's something in the water!
It's a Japanese bomb!
All hands, your battle stations brace for impact.
Hasha! Incoming, incoming, incoming!
End of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks, you still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And they're still going to try to stay in control. But because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have dodge for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations. So I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March mega sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at thealexhomestore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Good morning and welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're jumping on board with us today on this beautiful Tuesday morning. A lot happening over here. And the warmongers, they just can't stop. They can't stop. People like Lindsey Graham won't shut the F up. I actually think, and I thought at the time when I was watching Lindsey Graham's appearance yesterday on Hannity, I thought, well, first off, it's two very unlikable people. But then I thought, gosh, is this guy trolling us? Because it's really hard to wrap your mind around the fact that this guy is just so thirsty for blood that he would want the United States to hand over more of our young men and women to fight another war in the Middle East. But this is just an evil, evil, demonic soul. And so it's really not surprising that that's exactly what he was advocating for yesterday on Fox. Specifically, though, he's asking, and it was wild to me, but he was asking for people to, for Americans to give their children to the military. Just give their children. Then he started going off, and you're going to listen to all of it, about how he wants the Saudis to join in an alliance with the United States. And if they are attacked by Iran, which they've already been attacked by Iran, if they've attacked by Iran, we'll jump in on this fight as well with them and go to war with Iran on their behalf. It's so insane. You're going to have to listen to it for yourself in clip two. Take a listen.
Finally, to my friends in Saudi Arabia, I've been your biggest champion. I think the Crown Prince has taken Saudi Arabia in a completely different direction in a good way. But here's what I want to say to Saudi Arabia tonight. I'm willing to do a mutual defense agreement with your country to give you protection in perpetuity. under the agreement I've been pushing, and I hope we can continue to talk about, if you're attacked by Iran, we would go to war for you. Allies to our friends in Saudi Arabia. I am willing to do a treaty to go to war for you, but you got to step up and let America know you're a reliable ally. If you cannot join this fight, Iran has attacked your country viciously. What fight are you going to join? This is a time of choosing. We need to put a coalition together that stands against evil, that insists on a better Mideast. Let's don't go backward. Let's go forward. And just finish on this thought. To the American people, all the anti-Semites, to all the isolationists, I don't believe. Forget it. I'm not with you. I'm with Israel. I will be with Israel to our dying day. They're the best ally we could hope for. So we have a commander-in-chief in President Trump, who I think is Ronald Reagan plus, plus, plus. God bless Israel. Right. We should move all our stuff to Israel. Thank you.
It's hard to believe that this is a real human being who's out here every day representing those in South Carolina. He's not really representing them in South Carolina. He's representing whoever is funding this push campaign. Might be Israel at this point. I don't know. Just a couple of conspiracies I'll throw out there. This man is evil. He is an evil, evil, evil man. The fact that he's going out there and acting as if he's president of the United States, as if he has some authority to work out a treaty with Saudi Arabia. I mean, his words, I'm willing. I'm willing. Who's in charge here? Who's in charge here? If President Trump was watching last night, he should be ashamed. Why? Well, it's clear Lindsey Graham thinks he's operating and running the White House right now. And that's the reason why he was on Hannity last night, sitting there and portraying himself to be the one but operating everything. This man, this evil, evil, demonic soul is the one who's going out there right now. And he's presenting himself to be the one in charge. That's exactly what he did. How bold is that? And for the president of the United States to sit here and allow that to take place. Man, oh man, we thought Joe Biden was bad. We thought Joe Biden was sitting there, was being operated by others behind the scenes. Well, it looks like Lindsey Graham just came out and straight up told the American people that he's running the show, that he's running the White House, that he's calling the shots. He's talking directly to the Saudis, saying, I will go to war with you guys. Imagine the gojones on that guy. He's so emboldened to sit there and do that right in front of the American people. Imagine what he's saying behind closed doors. Imagine. He wants the American people to surrender their children to the military so they could go die in the Middle East like so many generations have done so far. This is a war that's going to last forever, folks. The war in the Middle, the wars, I should say, in the Middle East are going to long live the rest of us. Lindsey Graham's okay with that. Lindsey Graham is okay with generations of men dying in the Middle East, American men dying in the Middle East on the behalf of Israel. This is why you want to sit here and talk about anti-Semites? No, 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 no. There's people who legitimately criticize the Israeli government. And who creates those new waves of critics? People like Lindsey Graham. Oh, there you go. When you track his AIPAC money, it's close to $5 million. I mean, this is what's going on right now, folks. This is what's going on right now. They have created this monster. When you want to sit there and you want to criticize people who criticize Israel and call them a bunch of anti-Semites, let me tell you something. I actually don't even really care for anything in the Middle East, and I've been very down the middle on all of this. I don't want them in my country, regardless whether it's Israel or it's any of these Muslim countries. I don't want them. But guess what? Lindsey Graham fires up a whole new generation of Americans who despise Israel. Because when they see men like Lindsey Graham go on Fox News and make those talking points, guess what? They get fired up. They hate Israel. If Israel wants to stop the hatred that's spewing in this country right now, guess what? You got to stop these people from going out there and sounding like warmongers and pushing this country into further wars in the Middle East. I think we played it last week. He was pushing for war in Lebanon next. I mean, this man is an evil, evil man. Whether or not he has that authority, it looks like he does. Because many of us have been sitting around scratching our heads wondering, why is President Trump doing what he's doing in Iran? It's not America first. And they continue to say that there's an ongoing threat, but they've been saying that for years now. They've been saying that for decades. This is an evil, evil man. And you know what? It's worth calling it out. Because if you watch this show, you know I don't like Islamists. You know I have no problem detailing the threat that they impose on us here in the United States. But I'm not going to sit here and advocate for Israel. Although I do understand that they want to kill us all. I understand that. When you have people like Lindsey Graham going out there every day and advocating for more and more wars, for more Americans to die in the Middle East, you're radicalizing a whole new base of people who are going to criticize Israel every day. Every day. They have no one to blame but themselves. This younger generation, we look at all the polling data. I know Rasmussen Reports has posted the data. We've gone over it on this show. When you look over the polling data as to how many Americans in this country, the younger generations of Americans in this country, who no longer care for Israel, who want no part in having an alliance with Israel, that number continues to grow. Why? Because we see people like Lindsey Graham on our TVs every day, and we despise that human being because he's willing to sacrifice our people for another foreign conflict. Folks, I don't get fired up over the Israel conflict. I've actually gone on many shows where we have people arguing on the panels back and forth, and I tell every side that they're both wrong. But let me tell you something. This is going to turn me completely against Israel. As if I could be, in my opinion, if I could be any further away from any type of conflict in the Middle East. I mean, this is going to create a whole new wave of hatred for Israel in this country if they continue to allow Lindsey Graham to go on Fox News and speak like that. I don't want him covering it up either, though. South Carolina has to do better. There's no way that Lindsey Graham is the best representative for South Carolinians. There's no absolute way. There's no way. That man is evil. Evil. And it's crazy, too, because when you work in politics, you'll notice that when you work on the TV side of things, the best kept secrets are usually kept with those who do makeup and hair. And there was one girl who was telling me all about how creepy Lindsey Graham was when she had to go to his house to do his hair and makeup for an interview. And this makeup artist was like, it was disgusting. It was a dungeon. He had Chick-fil-A packages and wrappers all over the place. It was gross. I didn't want to be there. The man lives in a cave. And that's exactly what you'd expect from a cave creature. Evil, evil man. He's radicalizing all of us. You guys can sit out there and blame other people. I know a lot of the times they sit there and say that people like Nick Fuentes has like a negative effect on the younger generation. No, it's not Nick Fuentes. It's Lindsey Graham. It's watching him speak. It's watching our country sacrifice. And you heard President Trump when they kicked off this war in Iran. We're going to lose some lives. As if that's acceptable. And so far we're up to what? 8 Americans have died since this all started? I'm not willing to sacrifice another 8 Americans for any of this. If you want to stop the Islamic threat, guess how you do it? You stop letting them into our country. You stop going around. You stop blowing up these Middle Eastern countries and then saying, oh, now we have a new sea of refugees who need housing. Let's bring them all in. Shuffle them in. Bring them into the military bases. If we truly cared about the preservation of American lives, we would stop this nonsense. It's so infuriating to see. We haven't learned our lessons. And yesterday I cringed because President Trump, I can't remember the exact quote, but he made a comment during the press conference that he held yesterday. And it was that they're going to build up Iran. That's going to be a new country. Folks, it's everything I remember growing up around. When we sat there, we watched the wars that were going on in Afghanistan, in Iraq. Again, Afghanistan was warranted given 9/11. But again, that's why so many people are like, I think they allowed 9/11 to happen. And it's quite clear that there was enough intel coming in that they knew that there was a terrorist attack on the way, which later warranted the war in Afghanistan. This is why so many Americans don't trust the government. This is why we grew up in a world where we saw firsthand on how you don't have to trust your government, how you shouldn't trust your government, I should say. And I love it. I love hearing people go out there and bash people like Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson, again, I'm not happy with his stance on obviously Islamists. But at least he's been consistent. When it comes to the war in Iraq, he was one of the very few on cable news advocating against it. And he was right. He was right. So this new generation of individuals who want nothing to do with the Middle East is self-inflicted. Based on all the horrible people right now who are leading us in Washington, D.C. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of them. And most of the horrible people, you're not going to see their names because they're behind the scenes pulling the strings. You know, Laura Ingraham, I've disagreed with her politically on certain things, but she did a pretty good job at questioning Ted Cruz yesterday on the show. because there was a report that dropped about how how Senator Lindsey Graham is coaching Benjamin Netanyahu on how to lobby for President Trump. And it's a report, but at this point, you probably just assume that it's true. Listen to clip three.
I want to ask about what the Wall Street Journal is reporting about your colleague, Senator Lindsey Graham. The journal is saying that Graham traveled several times to Israel in recent weeks to help make the case on Iran, meeting with members of the country's intelligence agency, spoke with Netanyahu, coaching him on how to lobby President Trump for action. Graham said that Netanyahu showed the president intel that persuaded President Trump to go ahead. Senator, I know you all talk to foreign leaders, and that happens routinely. But speaking to a foreign leader on the precipice of war and seeming to be lobbying or being an intermediary, which this seems to indicate, is that the right way to go?
Well, listen, Lindsey is passionate about defending America, and he is on the road a lot. He's talking to world leaders all over the world. There are times when I agree with Lindsey. There are times when I don't. But when it comes
well,
to
what
the
about
threat,
this? Well, what about this? I mean, this is something of a totally different level, is it not?
No, actually, when it comes to the threat Iran poses, Lindsey agrees they pose a major threat to America, and I agree they pose a major threat to America. Look, Lindsey and I disagreed on the Iraq War. He thought the Iraq War was a good idea. I thought the Iraq War was a mistake. I think Iran is fundamentally different because Saddam Hussein was not murdering Americans on the scale and level that Iran has been doing. Saddam Hussein was not funding Hamas and Hezbollah killing Americans. And President Trump acted boldly to take out a regime that had been killing Americans over and over.
But we're not disagreeing on that.
Yeah.
I'm not disagreeing with that. Our point is working with Netanyahu so closely to lobby President Trump, acting as an intermediary for a foreign country. Is that appropriate? That was my simple question. I'm not trying to be difficult here, but that's slightly unusual, is it not?
Yeah,
I agree with you on the other points.
I don't think it's a fair characterization that Lindsey is an intermediary for Israel. And a lot of the critics say, oh, the war is all about Israel. Understand, it's not about Israel. It is about America. The reason President Trump acted is to defend America. There's a reason the Ayatollah referred to Israel as the little Satan, and America is the great Satan. I believe if the Ayatollah got
that.
A nuclear weapon, he would use it. Laura, if the Ayatollah could kill you and me right now, he would.
Yeah, I guess. Okay. Of course. But why the heck is Lindsey Graham meeting with world leaders? I mean, that's the focus here, right? She's literally focusing in on, why are we allowing this? Why is Lindsey Graham having this much authority right now over all of this? What's going on right now in the White House that has Lindsey Graham feeling very comfortable he could go out there on cable news and continue to advocate for other countries to join an alliance and for more Americans to die in the Middle East? What has him feeling so emboldened? That's a serious question that's worth answering. That's worth answering. Nobody voted for Lindsey Graham to be running the show. The American people definitely did not. And the president has completely distanced himself from the core base of individuals who wanted these wars to end. Now, again, they have given us a timeline as to what's going to happen in Iran. And I understand that they can't possibly give us that. But we also don't even know what the threat was that warranted all of this. I mean, this is crazy. This is crazy. The fact that Lindsey Graham thinks he has this much authority, and apparently he does, off of stirring the pot. This guy is so emboldened right now. And the fact that you don't hear Ted Cruz because he's too afraid to criticize his buddy over there. Why is Lindsey Graham meeting with world leaders? He is a U.S. senator. His constituents aren't in Israel. And it's just so infuriating. It's so infuriating. You know, Rob Barnes did a great job at outlining as to why this war with Iran is just not popular with the new additions to the MAGA movement in clip four. Take a listen.
Exactly to your point. I mean, you guys would be on top of it more than others. I remember watching that, the live that the young generation, the new MAGA part of the coalition, a lot of them were African-American male voters, Hispanic voters, mm-hmm. and young people, disproportionately millennials and Zoomers, that joined the Trump coalition in 2024 that weren't part of it before, that boosted us from, you know, being -4 to +1 in the national vote, that allowed for the sweep of the swing states, that allowed for some coattails in the House and the Senate. to have the House and the Senate. So that's what's at danger of losing. Young voters do not support this conflict. They don't want us involved in foreign conflicts, period. So the sooner the president can bring us home, the better. Similar. And then the other vote is the historic anti-war vote, disproportionately in rural and working class areas in the industrial and rural Midwest, and amongst Hispanic voters in the Southwest, which were bleeding out badly, as we saw from the Texas primary results. And then the libertarian vote. And it's so, just, you can't cut off this many parts of your coalition and survive.
Well, and so in the next segment, Robert, I want to paint a rosier picture if there is one. I want to talk about this because
honestly, folks, I think Robert Barnes is spot on with all of this. He is alienating a very key part of all of this, his base, of course. And I don't think the president even realizes it. I know, and I told you guys this yesterday, I know what's going on behind the scenes. They are doing their very best to build a bubble around him. And even the pollsters, the ones that you and I both liked and both thought were fair and balanced, they're trying to tip the scale so that these are more favorable for whatever their agenda is with President Trump. You can't trust anything anymore. Literally nothing. Literally nothing. Their efforts to control this White House is the same thing as the Auto Pen scandal, folks. I don't see a difference right now. I don't see a difference. I know it's probably radical for a lot of folks at home, but the reality of it is it's very, very clear that they're trying their best. And I don't think that President Trump, his health is declining, but I will say that I think it's quite obvious that they're doing their best to manipulate the president to get their agenda pushed through. Their agenda is obviously radical. Their agenda is obviously anti-America first. And they're pretending like he has no idea. I mean, the guy has no time on his hands. He's a very busy man. Whatever you put in front of him, he's going to have to believe. He's not out there shaking hands and interacting with average Americans. Obviously, every now and then for a photo opportunity, and that's not a jab at him, but you guys have seen him popping in and out of fast food restaurants. I love those videos, but he's not pulling people aside and having one-on-one conversations with them. Susie Wiles would never let that happen. And it's not just that, folks. We now have this massive threat that's looming right now. I don't know if you saw this. I'm going to go over two big things here, then I want to play this clip for you. JetBlue yesterday decided to ground, or this morning, I should say, decided to ground its flights, all of its flights. Now, again, we don't know the specific details to this, but this is the reason why I find it to be very important to report on what specifically happened today. The FAA briefly grounded all JetBlue flights earlier this morning after the agency said the airline had requested the stop. Now, soon after that announcement came, the issue that they were telling the FAA about apparently was resolved. And they refer to it as a brief system outage. And they won't give us any details on it. The FAA confirmed that ground stop has been lifted. That is the very latest. But what does that mean? Well, I know they don't want to cause panic. But if I had to assume what that means, possibly a cyber attack. Because the reason why I'm saying that is yesterday, too, Signal, that's the messaging app, also posted on X yesterday that there is a phishing attack that's going on right now. They're trying to get your passwords. They're trying to hack into your devices. But it's mainly government officials and journalists. Those are the reports that they're dropping. And it's not just that, too. And I always hate when I see the word Russian because I never actually believe anything that says the word Russian in front of it because I do believe that they've used this as propaganda. It's their own fault. But there are reports that Russian hackers also went after the WhatsApp app and Signal. Now, do I believe it's Russian? Might be. I've been telling you, it might be Iranian. They do have a very sophisticated hacker group. I think they're like second when it comes to all of that. So this is something that should be on your radar. I don't think they're going to want to tell the American people if they've been hacked. You know, so many times these banks itself won't reveal this information to you because they don't want to create panic. They don't want people to panic about where their money's going and how it could possibly be stolen by foreign bad actors. Often it's held hostage and they're forced to pay off ransoms in crypto. Now, again, it's my conspiracy I'm throwing out there. We all know that there's a heightened threat when it comes to all of this. In fact, Sarah Adams, who I highly respect, in clip 5 outlines that potential threat. Take a listen.
Iran has previously targeted U.S. banks, infrastructure, and then, of course, different networks run by the U.S. government. We've all seen again and again phishing campaigns spike with geopolitical crisis. Everyone takes advantage at this time, and just don't be someone they take advantage of. You don't want to be the calculus or the person who opened the door and let this foreign adversary into your place of work. You need to be part of the defense against a cyber attack. So if you're working right now in the government, you're in the military, don't click any unfamiliar emails right now, right? Off limits. Don't open any unknown attachments. Anyone new is reaching out to you on LinkedIn right now, ignore the requests. You don't have to respond to everyone.
Very, very useful information, because we've seen it happen before. Time and time again, they're trying their very best to go out there and hack into your devices. So keep that in the back of your minds, folks. This is going to be, I think it's going to be an elevated threat at this point. I know the government's warning people about this. As soon as they launched their attacks on Iran, I was warning the American people about this. Why? Well, because DHS right now is in a partial shutdown, which affects CISA. Now, CISA is not an group that I would advocate for, an agency that I'd advocate for, because I know what they did during the 2020 election and their big censorship push. But folks, we're definitely in trouble here when it comes to all of this. And it's not fear-mongering. It's meant to make you prepare. Prepare for the worst. These hackers are going to try their very best to go after our banks and other entities. And it's something that's very, very important for the American people to wrap their minds around. Again, there's no direct link. I'm just kind of floating it out there that JetBlue might have dealt with some hacking situation. But it's very, very likely. It's very, very likely. They're going to try to cripple us. And so you got to be aware of everything. Be aware of everything. I'm going to get to a couple other stories in a little bit. Did you guys see this? The CNN headline had me cracking up. CNN on Twitter today decided their very best to dance around the fact that there was Islamic terrorists in New York City. Two Pennsylvania teenagers crossed into New York City Saturday morning for what could have been a normal day, enjoying the city during abnormally warm weather. You know, they're describing the two alleged jihadists who allegedly threw homemade bombs with nail screws, other things in them, into a crowd of anti-Muslim invader protesters. That's what CNN posted on Twitter today. They're doing their very best to dance around the truth. They don't want you to know that these were jihadists. These were individuals, according to PD, are saying that these were individuals who openly admitted to being inspired by ISIS. That is what CNN doesn't want you knowing about. They're playing this little word game. I like to call it a word salad gymnastics. That's a new thing. I don't know. It's a little long, a little lengthy. But we'll see if it sticks. Folks, if you haven't done so already, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. We have 60% off the America 250 t-shirts. That's up on the site right now, 60% off. That means it's $14.99 over at thealexjonesstore.com. We also have our March mega sale going on right now. Stop what you're doing and head on over to the shop.
As InfoWars not delivered. In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the info war continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participated, supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity, against the globalists, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried ultramethylene blue or our bovine colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you can become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it recurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click in your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet, up to 40% off store-wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats, 10% off on things like the collectible knives, and up to 40% off on supplements like Ultramethylene Blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th at theultrastore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. I'm going to salute you and thank you. Take action now.
I'm gonna go to the bathroom.